VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you will recall as the Biden administration was put in place in 2021, President Biden appointed Vice President Harris to be the point person here on the border. The American people were assured that the Biden administration would address the root causes of illegal immigration, and this is going to solve the problem at the border. Well, 2022, we saw the Vice President traveling to Honduras, came back announcing a deal. They're going to provide some $500 million in private investment to Central America, large U.S. corporations getting engaged with infrastructure projects. Earlier this year, she spoke of the progress being made on all of this. But friends, the problem has grown exponentially worse, and the floodgates are about to open as Title 42 is set to end this Thursday, May 11th. With an updated report on our borders, we welcome back Mark Krikorian, a nationally recognized expert on immigration issues. He is the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. They're an independent, nonpartisan research organization that examines and critiques the impact of immigration on the U.S. He's testified many times before Congress, has published articles on many outlets. Mark, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Glad to be here.
So I'd like to begin with a clip of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, who was on NBC, was just being interviewed by Chuck Todd. This was on not this past weekend, the weekend before, but the issue of a secure border came up. So we're going to play the question and his response. So here's Secretary Mayorkas.
What's the definition of secure border to you?
It is in the context in which we are working. It is maximizing the resources that we have available to us to deliver the most effective results. And something that is overlooked, that I speak about frequently, mm-hmm. is the fact that our apprehension rates at our southern border are consistent with the apprehension rates in the prior administration. Mm-hmm. And why is that? It is because of the extraordinarily heroic work of our United States Border Patrol.
There's enough there in that 30 seconds, Mark, to talk a full hour. But first of all, his definition of what a secure border is.
Yeah, complete nonsense. Because, first of all, secure border means the border is secure. It doesn't mean, well, we're trying our best, you know, mm-hmm. with whatever we have. The operational control of the border is the term actually in the law. It's defined in the law. Operational control of the border means they prevent the crossing of any people or things that shouldn't be coming across. I mean, it's just a normal, it's the normal English meaning of it. He's playing games with words. And this idea that their apprehension rate, in other words, the percentage of people who come across that they catch, is as good themselves in now. They literally are flagging down the Border Patrol because they know they're going to get a ride. And they may spend a day or two in detention, and then they're going to be dropped off at the bus station. So, of course, a lot of people are turning themselves in. I mean, it's, you know, Secretary Mayorkas is just one of the more dishonest people I've encountered in public life. It really is remarkable.
Well, it's not only him. I'm going to play also just an audio clip from Vice President Harris, and we're going to get into the Title 42 issue as well. But she also indicating in a recent interview, this was MSNBC.
Would you call the border secure?
I think that there is no question that we have to do what the president and I asked Congress to do. Is the first request we made, pass a bill to create a pathway to citizenship. The border is secure, but we also have a broken immigration system, in particular over the last 4 years before we came in, and it needs to be fixed.
We're going to have 2 million people cross this border for the first time ever. You're confident this border's secure?
We have a secure border in that that is a priority for any nation, including ours and our administration. But there are still a lot of problems that we are trying to fix, given the deterioration that happened over the last 4 years. We also
Yeah, I'm just going to stop it right there. We've heard enough, really. She's not talking about the border around Israel. She's talking about our border being secure. And then blames the Trump administration for, you know, all the chaos that they're having to fix.
Yeah, it's absurd. I mean, it's comical. Honestly, look, I don't like to be disrespectful, but the vice president just is not the brightest light in the marquee. And, you know, the idea that the border problems are caused by the Trump administration policies is absurd. The Trump administration didn't fix everything. It wasn't perfect, but they had stabilized the border. They had fixed the kind of immediate problem that was facing them. And this administration, literally starting the day President Biden was sworn in, undid virtually every Trump policy, even though the officials in the Trump administration, sort of the lower down people, met with the incoming Biden people. They always do that when there's a transition. You know, here's where the bathroom is and, you know, that kind of stuff. But also, they said, look, I know your boss said he was going to undo X, Y, and Z, but if you do that, it's going to be a disaster. Please don't do it. They just did it anyway, and everything that they were warned about is what came true. Mm-hmm. So they have no one to blame but themselves.
Yeah. Well, things are really ramping up right now. We've got several things at play that we need to unfold today, but May 11th, Title 42 comes to an end, and if you would first give just a brief explanation, Mark, of what Title 42 is and how that's going to impact what happens at our border later this week.
Title 42 is a shorthand we use for a public health order that dates from COVID that authorizes the Border Patrol to just bounce back across the border, anyone that they catch. No hearings, no asylum, no nothing. They just bounced right back. And under Trump, that was used on almost all people that they caught at the border. They sent them right back once COVID happened. This administration, it's the only Trump policy they've kept in place, but they have been applying it to fewer and fewer of the people they catch. In other words, they make more and more exceptions. But even with all the exceptions, they're still expelling without putting them in the asylum pipeline. Maybe half, maybe not quite half of the people, at least a third of the people coming across. So even in the watered-down form that these guys use it, Title 42 is still a tool the Border Patrol can use to keep the current disaster from turning into a mega disaster. Well, that's ending as of midnight on the 11th. So it'll be really the 12th where you start seeing the effects. And what that means is all those people who were coming across, especially single men, who were being bounced back, now will be able to utter the magic words of asylum that the smugglers and the activist groups in the United States tell them to say. And guess what? They get put in the asylum pipeline as well. And this administration won't detain people, at least not for any length of time. So they're going to end up letting go into the United States even more illegal immigrants. And just as one fact to sort of give listeners a sense of how big this problem is, since this president came into office, his administration has taken into custody and then let go into the United States more than 2 million illegal aliens. That's more than legal immigration during that time. So that the main way you come to the United States now as an immigrant is to sneak across the southern border. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, and I'd like to look at what some of the media, New York Post, May 1st, they reported over 73,000 migrants crossed the southern border in the last 10 days, the 10 days leading up to that, and that was numbers from the U.S. Border Patrol. They admitted another 17,000 illegal gotaways avoided detection entered the country as things reached this fever pitch heading up to the end of Title 42. And they even reported numbers of over 22,000 apprehended in a 72-hour period. I mean, those numbers are staggering. How do we even deal with numbers like this? I mean, it's numbers it's like a surge that you can't stop.
Well, this administration wants people to think that. In other words, look, there's nothing we can do about this, folks. It's all because of climate change and white supremacy and who knows whatever else. They're just saying, look, we have no control over this. This is like the tides, you know, or the continental drift. It's just something we have to accommodate ourselves to. That's complete bunk. Fact is, the people are coming because the calculation they're making is that it's worth the money and it's worth the risk, because the odds of getting let go by the Border Patrol, dropped off at a bus station and then you do whatever you want, the odds are high enough that it's worth the risk, worth the money. When you change that calculus, and the way the way it has to be done is they need to start detaining people and not letting them go until they're flown back or bussed back to where they're coming from. When you change the calculus, when you change the odds, people are going to change their behavior. But because this administration has made it worth it to spend all this money and take these risks, and there's a lot of risks involved, more people are doing it. And until they change that incentive structure, mm-hmm. if you will, people are going to keep doing it.
Yeah, and I saw in the Daily Caller, they're reporting that migrants are actually using their arrest warrants as an ID to fly around the country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the way it's been all along, because they don't have other IDs. But if they want to fly, you know, they have some relative in Chicago or whatever bought them a plane ticket. You know, they don't have a driver's license, obviously. They don't have any of that stuff. So they just show their ICE arrest warrant, you know, it's basically like a summons to come to present themselves to ICE, you know, 5 years from now or something like that. It's just completely fanciful. The whole thing is a farce, and none of it is necessary. This administration created the whole thing, and calling it the Biden border crisis is not an exaggeration. That's exactly what it is.
And a comment on how security was prior to COVID under the Trump administration.
It was pretty good. Now, again, it wasn't perfect, but probably the most important thing that they put in place was a policy that's commonly known as remain in Mexico. And this isn't just, hey, you remain in Mexico. It was an actual policy where if somebody comes across the border and says the magic asylum words, again, which they've been coached to say by American activist groups working down there and also by the smugglers, maybe working together with the smugglers, I don't know. But instead of letting them go because there's no longer enough room to hold them, they made a deal with Mexico, and they said, we're going to send you back across the border, and you're going to wait there until your hearing date comes up. And then we'll bring you in. We have courts, immigration courts set up right on the border. So, you know, we'll just drive you right there, and the decision will be happen. And either you get asylum, which most people don't, and then we'll let you go, or we drive you back to the border, and then you're on your own. That changed the whole calculation of people, because the reason they were making these bogus asylum claims, and most asylum claims are false, is because that was the ticket to being released. If it's no longer the ticket to release, people stop doing it. And the number of people coming across plummeted under Trump before COVID even. And then when COVID happened, everything kind of froze. But it was effective. This administration stopped it cold.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. Mark Krikorian is with us today from the Center for Immigration Studies. And we're seeing just these numbers are staggering numbers that are coming across our borders here illegally. And it's projected it's going to get far worse once Title 42 is lifted. More discussion after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, do creationists sometimes use bogus arguments for creation?
Unfortunately, they do, Chris. Some favorite arguments that sound so good really aren't well established. Thankfully, there is plenty of good evidence that creationists can use. One example of an outdated argument is the possible human footprints found in the same strata as dinosaur footprints in Texas. Now, I was one of the original developers of this theory and published the authoritative book on it. But the more research we did, the more we saw problems. So I removed my book from the market, and we no longer use that claim. I feel it's too ambiguous to use. Now, others still do use that argument, and while I don't oppose them, I do encourage them to use the better evidence. True evidence for creation is strong and convincing, especially as we use that back-to-Genesis perspective.
This is Chris O'Brien, thanks for going back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. And friends, the border chaos that we have known over these past couple of years, believe it or not, it's about to worsen as Title 42 is lifted. And there have been reports, don't know exact numbers, but I see here Congressman Andy Biggs, Mark, of Arizona. He said this, that the Mexican cartels are preparing to flood the U.S. southern border with between 700,000 and 1 million illegal immigrants when Title 42 is lifted. Don't know how we have access to these numbers, but nonetheless, it's pointing that what we have known in the past is border chaos is going to get far worse.
Oh, it's definitely going to get worse. And the cartel connection is interesting because the cartels don't themselves, the drug cartels don't do this alien smuggling. There's separate criminal groups that do that. But the smuggling groups have to pay the big cartels a tax to pass through their turf. Some of these cartels are actually apparently making more money off of the tax for smuggling illegals than off of drugs.
My.
And the other thing is, and this is sort of the issue that I think Biggs was talking about, is that the cartels will often use big groups of aliens who are going to turn themselves in as a diversion. So that they tell the smuggling groups, okay, you're going to cross your people here at this time. And what they then do is 5 miles upriver, that's when they move across, you know, drugs, terrorists, whatever it is they're going to do, because the Border Patrol is so totally overwhelmed. It's like Lucy in the Chocolate Factory, you know, from that I Love Lucy, you know, that old thing where they work at the Chocolate Factory she can't keep up with it. And so they use that to their advantage in order to clear out parts of the border so they can get across whatever they want.
Now, in a recent press conference at the White House, Karine Jean-Pierre talked about a 90% reduction of illegal encounters. What is she referring to? And I thought, what Kool-Aid is she drinking here?
Yeah, there's a lot of Kool-Aid going on there. She heard the stat somewhere and had no idea what she was talking about. There was, in fact, a 90% reduction just in Venezuelans, just from December to January, because, again, not all immigration, just that one nationality, because the administration instituted a new policy, another illegal policy, saying that people from four nationalities, so Venezuelans, Cubans, Haitians, and Nicaraguans, could just schedule their illegal immigration at a port of entry ahead of time with a computer app. And so a lot of these people, plausibly enough, said, geez, I don't know, let me wait and see how that works out. You know what I mean? Let me give that a try. So the number went down. It's just gone right back up now. The number of Venezuelans is now, I think, I haven't checked the latest numbers. They haven't even reported April numbers yet. But it's probably as much as it was before that drop. So there was, in fact, a blip. It was a real thing, but it was a temporary drop based on the president's, frankly, illegal plan to just let the illegal immigrants through legal ports of entry and just wave them into the country. So anyway, it's just another example, both of the administration's malign plans, illegal plans, but also the incompetence of a lot of the people who work in the administration.
Kind of like a time release capsule. I mean, sign here in order to come into our country illegally. And as long as you have signed up for the date and time you're going to enter illegally, we'll let you in.
Yeah, we'll let you in. And in a sense, it's like supposedly legal, right? Because they're coming in through a normal crossing point. They're not sneaking across the border. In a sense, the way I've put it, I've written about this several times, is that the alien isn't really breaking the law anymore because they're not jumping, you know, somewhere in the middle of the border. It's the administration that's breaking the law for them by letting them in, even though they have literally no right to be here.
When are we going to learn, Mark? I mean, we saw the recent horrible Texas shooting, Cleveland, Texas, committed by an illegal immigrant, deported several times and coming back into our country. We're not learning from these things.
No, we're not. And, you know, this guy, literally four times he was deported, and there was another time he was apparently arrested for DUI and wasn't deported after that. So the point here is not that illegal immigrants are all shooting everybody everywhere, but that any illegal immigrant criminal is one illegal immigrant criminal too many, because they're not supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this guy literally was deported four times. Well, remember, if you're deported, and I mean you're formally deported, and then you come back, that's a felony. If you're just standing on the sidewalk in the United States, you're committing a felony. This guy should have been locked up and, you know, for a couple of years and then dumped back across the border so that he'd understand if he tried again, well, you lock him up for even longer.
Yeah.
I mean, there have to be consequences for breaking the law. And under this administration, they cannot bring themselves to punish people for breaking immigration law because they really just don't believe that immigration law is just. They don't. They don't think that you and I and the American people have a right to say no. And so everything follows from that.
Well, indeed, as you mentioned, they're claiming asylum. They learned the word asylum. But when you talk to people, and I've seen reporters who talk to individuals, they're coming here to make money. And they say that they're coming here to make a living for themselves.
Yeah, of course they are. I mean, one of our writers, his name is Todd Bensman. He lives down in Texas, spent a lot of time on the border, was involved in intelligence before that. He's gone down to the Mexican side of the border and down to Costa Rica and elsewhere. And he just asked people, you know, what are you doing here? Why are you coming? They're all, well, you know, we can't make enough money at home. It's too hard. There's no jobs. We want better chances for our kids. It's like, okay, well, that's all plausible enough. There's nothing to do with political asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's the gimmick they're using to get into the United States. And that is the rationale, the excuse this administration is using to let them go.
Well, this administration has also just approved the sending of, what is it, some 1,500 troops to the Mexican border?
Yeah, it's complete theater, you know, political theater. The troops at the border aren't going to do anything other than help the Border Patrol release people even faster into the United States.
My.
Look, previous administrations have sent troops as well. And all the troops can do, because soldiers can't arrest people inside the United States, all they do is they help the Border Patrol. I mean, I've talked to guys, soldiers, National Guard and stuff doing this. And there's a certain use to it. You know, they're extra eyes and ears, all that sort of thing. The problem is that under previous administrations, even Democratic ones, when troops went to help the Border Patrol, they were helping the Border Patrol keep people out of the United States. Under this administration, soldiers who are being sent will be helping the Border Patrol what the White House has told the Border Patrol to do, which is let people into the United States.
Yeah,
so if anything, it'd be better not to send these troops to help speed up the admission of illegal aliens.
Well, President Trump did have troops there, and it was criticized by then-candidate Kamala Harris. And here's what she said. This is going to take us back here to, I think, 2018. And here's how she responded at that time.
I thank the men and women who serve our military and serve in the United States Marine Corps. I also believe that the administration made a decision to deploy them based on a political agenda. And I believe that it is inappropriate to require the limited resources of the United States military to be used in such a way when these folks who are being deployed there, they're going to leave their, they've left their families. They will not be home, looks like, for Thanksgiving. And all because there needed to be some demonstration for the TV cameras based on a political agenda instead of what is a national security threat.
Well, now our military is more limited than then.
Yep. Yeah, it sounds pretty familiar, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Sending military for purposes of, public relations when you're worried about the border. Well, that's exactly what these guys are doing now. I mean, there's literally no rationale for having done this on their part other than PR, the damage control, as it were, to show that they're somehow responding to the concerns that people have
mm-hmm.
about what's going to happen this week.
Well, Governor Abbott has announced this specially trained National Guard unit called the Texas Tactical Border Force. Will they have impact on this?
They can have some impact, but what states can do is limited, is legally limited. Texas is probably pushing the envelope on everything they can do, but they can't arrest people for being illegal aliens. What the state has done is make arrangements with landowners on the border. because in Texas, almost all the land on the border is privately owned, as opposed to Arizona or California, where it's government property mostly. And so if someone comes across, they can't arrest them for trespassing. And so they've been doing that. And they can also, you know, they're trying to do anti-drug stuff. That's what this unit of the National Guard is trying to do. In other words, arrest people for drug issues. And they can do that because that's a state crime. But there's ultimately, if the federal government refuses to enforce immigration laws, there's a limit to what states can do. This is a political problem that has to be dealt with in Washington by changing the people who are making decisions. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have seen the continued whining, complaining from Chicago mayor, New York City mayor, et cetera, because Texas, sometimes Florida, has been sending through means in which the illegal immigrants are knowing what they're getting into, basically, you know, authorizing to be shipped to these areas. But they are more than ever complaining as to the high cost for their sanctuary city.
Yeah, well, look, when you invite illegal immigrants to move to your city, you shouldn't be surprised if they take you up on the offer.
Mm-hmm.
We have a piece that we've put up on our website, cis.org, about a report by a New York City government, like the comptroller, I think, the guy in charge of the money, and lays out all of the costs that this is costing New York City taxpayers. And a big part of it is because they are, you know, shelling out all of these benefits to illegal immigrants. So you've got people, illegals maybe, who don't have family and are figuring, well, they got nowhere else better to go. New York sounds good. I've heard of that. Statue of Liberty, you know, or the Empire State Building. And, hey, what do you know? My, you know, neighbor who made it there says they get free housing and food and health care and all the rest of it. It's like, well, I'm getting on the bus and going to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, you create an incentive, people are going to act on it. And so New York City and Chicago, they got nobody to blame but themselves. And what's ironic is they're bellyaching about receiving just the tiniest dropper full of the number of illegal immigrants coming across the border. What's Texas supposed to do about it? Why is New York special and Texas is the one that's supposed to bear the brunt of these costs?
I'd also like to mention Communist China, because I saw a story, too, in the Christian Post about a growing number of Chinese migrants are really going through this dangerous mountain jungle in Colombia, but on their trek to the U.S. border. That has taken place, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, this is the place is called the Darien Gap, which is where Panama and Colombia meet. And there's no roads through there. There's actually a highway from Alaska down to Argentina, and that's the one place that there's no roads. It's a gap. And so that's why they call it the Darien Gap. And so what people do, not just Chinese, but people from all over the world, is they'll usually go to Ecuador, which basically lets anybody come there without a visa because they know they're not going to stay. And then they take a bus and walk and hitchhike and train and whatever it is to the U.S. border. And so they have to go through that narrow little gap. And frankly, the Chinese who are coming are responding to the same incentives. They're regular immigrants. And they've heard that, Biden's letting people in. And so it's worth the money to pay smugglers to try to get in because the odds are good.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to follow up on this further, because not only are those who just want to come across and make a life better for themselves, but friends, what about those coming through with clandestine means? Also, what about the impact of fentanyl upon our nation as well? We'll be back in just 1 minute. Mark Krikorian is with us. Their website, cis.org. We'll be right back.
Crosstalk as we know it began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Mike Eliason here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine-formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mark Krikorian is our guest today, and he is Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. CIS.org is the website, CIS.org. Mark, in talking about the Chinese, the Communist China, some are people just coming over here. They, too, want to make a better living for themselves. But there are others that are coming to this border with clandestine means. And we know that because we know that there have been those on the terrorist watch list that have been apprehended. But we don't know how many are not being apprehended, the gotaways, so to speak. And that should be a concern to our national security as to not just the floodgates that are open, but how many are here for clandestine reasons.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's almost 100 people so far under this administration have been apprehended at the border who are on some kind of terrorist watch list. And that's, I mean, way more than any. It's like more than all the other years before put together. The thing is, those people are not coming and turning themselves in, obviously. Mm-hmm. They know that they're wanted or that they're somehow, you know, not going to be let in. So what they are is part of the flow of what is called gotaways, which is obvious. They got away, you know, but that doesn't just mean people who got into the country without being stopped. That's a specific thing. That means people the Border Patrol saw or has some evidence, like a sensor, a ground sensor went off, or they have pictures from a camera or something, but they were not able to get them. In other words, they were detected but got away. So there's actually more people who got into the country past the Border Patrol, even than this gotaway number, which is well over 1 million now during this administration's term. Again, people that they know crossed the border and that they know that they didn't catch. Those people, if they're not turning themselves in, there's a reason for that. They've been deported before. There's some kind of, they're criminals, they're terrorists, who knows what. But the point is, if you're not turning yourself in, you don't want to get caught, there's a reason you don't want to get caught.
Right, right. And we know that the numbers have just been staggering coming across our border. And I saw a story on the centersquare.com about Hondurans released in the U.S. They don't have court dates until the year 2026. I mean, there are so many that the courts can't even keep up. And yep. So we're talking a few years down the road, even before a court date occurs?
Oh, it's even worse than that. In New York City, because obviously there's different courts in different places, in New York City, they're now scheduling immigration court dates for 2033,
oh my.
10 years from now. And so the idea that, well, if we just hired some more immigration judges, it would all be set is nonsense. You need to bounce people out of the country without entering them into an immigration court system. You cannot immigration judge your way out of this because, look, political asylum broadly, was invented after World War II, and it was considered to be something for a handful of people, you know, a few Russian ballerinas every year, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has turned into, not just here, but in Europe, in Israel, in Australia, it's turned into a weapon against civilized, developed countries to undermine their sovereignty. And it's mainly used by people in those countries who don't believe in sovereignty, you know, anti-American or anti-sovereignty people in Europe, that kind of thing. And so that's something that can't just be dealt with by beefing up the border or whatever. That is going to require changes in the law. We need to get out of the UN Refugee Treaty. We need to change our refugee law so that asylum is for a handful of people who really are the most desperate on the planet and cannot stay another second where they are, rather than this means of mass illegal immigration, which is what it's turned into.
Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. Your questions or brief comments, 1-800-733-9829. I'd like to also have you discuss the fentanyl issue, Mark, because we are just seeing record numbers of fentanyl deaths taking place, and so much is attributed. I mean, all of a sudden we'll see something that's been opened up and filled with, you know, X number doses of fentanyl and street value of these many million dollars. But this is in another, with the porous borders that we've had, the fentanyl encroachment across our border is killing our nation.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, a lot of the fentanyl comes through the ports of entry, the legal crossing points. This is the point that Democrats always make, and that's true. A lot of it does. We have no idea how much is coming across the other parts of the border because we're only catching a small fraction of it. And what you're seeing is not so much your ordinary Honduran illegal alien is humping a backpack full of fentanyl. I mean, I'm sure that happens, but what you're seeing is the cartels, like I said earlier, the cartels using this flow of illegals and the administration's unwillingness to let the Border Patrol to do its job, mm-hmm. using that as a way of circumventing border enforcement and getting in whatever they want. Fentanyl is a lot of it, but there's all kinds of other stuff, too. So, yep. You know, even if we had good control of the border, some of this poison would still be getting through, but we are making it easier and easier for bad guys to move people and drugs and anything else across the border than it should be.
There's one other aspect I want to bring up here, too, before we go to the phone calls, and that is the Afghanistan withdrawal that happened. And we understand there are still, and this is Washington Free Beacon reporting, at least 88,000 Afghan refugees are still waiting to be vetted yet.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're here.
Yes.
In other words, it was such a disaster that, you know, the administration presented our evacuation from Afghanistan as though it was, these are our allies. These are people who were out there outside the wire fighting with our soldiers. No, they weren't. The vast majority were just people who muscled their way onto the plane before the door closed. And once that happened, then what are we going to do with them? Send them back to Afghanistan? I mean, you know, if they're really bad guys, I wouldn't be averse to that. But most of them aren't, and we're not even going to send, you know, child rapists back to Afghanistan as much as, frankly, they deserve it, and who cares what the Taliban does to them. The fact is, once the door on those planes closed, they were here. And all the talk of vet smoke,
blowing
because
smoke.
Once they're here, they're here.
Let's go to Jim in Wisconsin. Hi, Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, first of all, we got to go back to Obama years when he said he wanted to fundamentally transform America. What better way to fundamentally transform this country than to have millions of illegals coming in here taking over? But I have two questions. First of all, who's paying when they come here? Where are they staying, and who's giving them room and board? Where's that money coming from? I'm feeling like the government's paying this.
Okay, and question number two.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, the government is. It depends which government, but. If they're going to New York City or Chicago or what have you, people there are paying for it. In fact, in New York, the mayor said he's going to have to cut back services for Americans in New York because of all the costs the illegal immigrants are imposing. And then other costs are federal government grants to these nonprofit groups, and they're using it to support illegal immigration. Now, remember, a lot of the illegal immigrants are people who have relatives here. That's why they're coming. And so those people will just be crashing at their brother-in-law's house, that sort of thing. But the ones who don't have other support are being supported either by taxpayers or often by churches and voluntary donations. But, you know, that's where your money's going to one way or the other. And people probably should be asking more questions about what's mm-hmm. being done with their money.
Now, my question is, I've been calling my congressman about this morning. And my question is, what can we out here do to stop this?
Thank you, Jim.
Well, I mean, ultimately, first of all, you can elect different people, but we're a think tank. We don't get involved in electoral politics. What I can suggest, though, is there's a citizen action group, which is called Numbers USA. I don't know if they've been on your show before or not, but they do, I mean, they're similar perspective as we have, but they do much more directly, you know, call your congressman about this bill over the next 2 days because there's going to be a hearing, that kind of detail. So I would recommend after you go to our website, cis.org, you go to theirs, numbersusa.com, and you can sign up. There's no cost. They don't spam you or any of that sort of thing. But you can find out what's going on and in a targeted way who to call, who to, you know, send an email to about what and what exactly to say in order to try to effect some change.
Jim, thank you for the call. Let's go to Merle in Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. When the floodgates of insanity were opened in this country after the 2020 election, that insanity obviously is carried over to our immigration policies. Been a 900% increase in Chinese males coming across the border. And for a second, I don't think it's benign, and I don't think they're here to open up a Chinese restaurant. Hmm.
Thank
well,
you.
Some are, some aren't. I mean, obviously, the Chinese aren't idiots, so the Chinese Communist Party, I guarantee you, is using this opportunity to send people here who shouldn't be here. But also, remember, a lot of them really are just regular working stiffs who hear through the grapevine that Uncle Sucker is letting people in, and so they're like, okay, well, let's, you know, let me go, and they won't be opening a Chinese restaurant, probably washing dishes in a Chinese restaurant as an indentured servant for the next 5 or 10 years. So anyway, it's both things are happening.
Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go next to Beth. Hi, Beth. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. I just have so frustrated with this because, first of all, they're not refugees. They're illegal aliens, and we have to stop calling them that. I know this government has labeled them that so they can come in here, but you know what? You know, if they're coming here to be with their parents or their families or whatever the situation is, there's legal ways they're supposed to, not just crush over the border and just come in here. They're bringing in diseases, too, that nobody's monitoring. They're also, you know, these people, you say they have relatives. Well, I just don't know, really, how many relatives they have here because you have people from all over the world that are just kind of mass coming over that border, mm-hmm. and it's going to end up being us having to pay for everything, and we can hardly, you know, support things now as it is. So, you know, where is American citizen in all this?
Thank you, Beth, for this. And, yeah. Mark, it seems like there's almost like an intentional working to collapse, you know, our system.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think there are no question people who think that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue is, and this is something I was just reading about today, about how conservatives and liberals view the world. And the fact is, liberals give the greatest compassion or attention to people who are the farthest away from them, not just physically, but that they have the least to do with. And their own people, they don't really value very much. And so I think that's what this is. This is immigrants are the other, you know, as they, you know, capital O. In other words, they're foreigners, therefore they must be better than us. And so taking steps to preserve the interests of our own people is seen by people on the left as wrong, as unethical. And so you end up with this kind of perspective where the foreigner is always better than the American. And I'm sorry, that's not what democratic government is about. Government exists to promote the interests of the people who form that government, which is to say us, not to kind of, you know, do virtue signaling.
Mark Krikorian is our guest today. Their website, cis.org, as he mentioned, they're a think tank, and they're independent, they're nonpartisan, they're a research organization, but they examine, they critique the impact of immigration on the United States. The Center for Immigration Studies, cis.org. A quick break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls. Mark, you stay on the line. You'll be our next caller when we come back from the break. Others as well. Our number, 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Worldviewreport.com. Is America headed for a great divorce or a great divide? Indeed, America is divided, and a house that is divided cannot stand. We seem to have a massive worldview war going on, one we've known about for years, but it's even gotten weirder. states passing legislation to allow for the, quote, legal kidnapping, end quote, of children from parents to have sex change operations and abortions. Parents can find themselves losing their minor children if they tell a school official their parent is not being cooperative or in agreement and supportive of their transitioning. They may not find their child coming through the door after school, but having been placed by the state in a LGBTQ-friendly facility to facilitate such a change. Other states are working fast to stop this and making laws to stop it. A great divide is underway.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Mark Krikorian is with us today from the Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. I understand, Mark, that there was a protest recently in South Chicago.
Yeah, in a black neighborhood in South Chicago where the government of Chicago, where the mayor is black herself, is trying to warehouse a lot of illegal aliens in like some former school or closed school. And the locals, there was a very raucous meeting, and then they had a press conference. People were holding up, you know, build the wall signs, all of this kind of thing. You're basically saying, well, you know, who do you think you guys are? What are we? You're just dumping this problem in our neighborhood? Send them to the rich areas in North Chicago. Well, that doesn't happen. And so the point is, this is something that is affecting Americans at the border, away from the border, Americans who are white, black, rich, poor. It doesn't matter. This is a problem all Americans are paying a price for.
Mark is next in Newark, Ohio. Mark, you're on the air.
There's two things I got to say about this. Is number one is when these people come across the border like they are doing, and eventually this government that we have now are going to try to give them rights to vote and everything else, and they shouldn't have that right because they're not American citizens legally. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you're forgetting who to put the big blame on this. One of them is Biden, but is that Secretary or Border Secretary? What's his name?
Mayorkas.
Mayorkas. Yeah.
Mayorkas. Yeah. He's the one. He ain't doing his job. And every time when they bring him up to a Senate committee, he's always trying to filibuster them guys, and they shut him down. And yep. And you know, this guy here is doing it purposely because he can't even answer a single simple question for them guys.
Thank you for the call. Mark, he was just down at the border here the last couple of days.
Yes, he was. And he was, you know, giving his usual. Remember Baghdad Bob from the Gulf War? He was the Iraqi official who was on TV all the time saying, no, we're winning. There are no American tanks in Baghdad, while literally the tanks were driving behind him on
yeah,
camera.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
This guy is basically like Baghdad Bob, only for the border. And so Secretary Mayorkas, the problem is if he weren't there, you know, they just appoint somebody else who'd be just as bad, probably. Nonetheless, I think it is incumbent at this point on Republicans to impeach this guy. They can do it. The Senate won't remove him, so he will probably still keep his job. But impeaching him, getting it on the record, having the hearings, I think that's very important. And I know that that's what they're trying to do, but they've only got a 4 or 5 vote majority in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So they need to kind of make sure that they don't have any of their own squishy members, you know, leave. So they're definitely working on impeaching Mayorkas, and the sooner it happens, the better.
So in the House, they only have a few vote majority. Senate, of course, Republicans don't have the majority.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Oh, and you also just brought up the illegal voting here as well. And there are those who are wanting to allow illegal aliens to vote in local elections.
Oh, yeah. Well, there are actually a number of jurisdictions already where illegal immigrants can vote in local elections. Mm-hmm. It's barred by law from voting in federal elections. But like for school board and mayor and stuff like that, sure. There are a lot of places where illegal immigrants can vote. I mean, a lot. But it's, you know, the kind of lefty places you would think. Interestingly, a number of years ago, there was a proposal to have New York City allow illegal aliens to vote. And it would have required the state legislature to approve it. And even the New York Times was against it at the time. This is like 10 years ago. I'm pretty sure they would be for it at this point. So, again, this is to my point about how On the left, if the farther you are from them, in other words, the more different you are from them, the more they value you. So illegal immigrants voting is just seems to them a natural thing. You know, they think illegal immigrants should probably have more right to vote than Americans.
We've got Beth as our next caller in Bayview. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim and Mark. Jim, people were prompted and glad to call their senators about extending this bill for May 11th. And we don't hear anything on the media, of course, about it. Can you tell us anything, good news, about contacting our senators?
Well, specifically on the May 11th thing, that's going to end. I mean, that's baked in the cake, let me put it that way. But you're calling your congressman, your member of the House of Representatives, can help because there's a bill that the Republican leadership in the House is going to bring up for a vote on May 11th, on 5/11, specifically, that will have a lot of immigration control measures in it. I mean, it's not everything I would want, but it's a really good bill. And considering they've only got a 5-vote majority, mm-hmm. And they're pretty sure they have everybody lined up voting for it, it's important. And so it's called H.R. 2. In other words, it's House of Representatives Bill Number 2, H.R. 2. And that's going to be up for a vote on May 11th.
And by the way, your House member can be reached at 202-225-3121. That's the House switchboard. Thank you for the call. John is next. Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, having Kamala Harris or Kamala, whatever she's called this week, talk is like listening to a 6-year-old child who can't put a sentence together. Unbelievably dumbed down, and blame everything on the previous administration. And my question is, why are they letting all this stuff happen? Is it cheap labor, or what is it? And I will hang up and listen to your answer, and thank you so much. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think there's a mix. Different people have different motives, but the pro-immigration people all pull in the same direction. They have slightly different motives. Some people, for the business lobbyists and what have you, it's cheap labor. And they say, you know, they look around and they say, oh, my God, Americans are being offered more money, you know, in these low-skilled jobs. They're being offered raises in order to stay working for them. We can't allow that to happen, so let's import foreigners. For people, that's the business folks and the libertarians. For the folks on the left, they just don't believe that the American people have the right to limit immigration, period. And so if you're not a terrorist and you're not a criminal, they think that you have a right to come to the United States. And if the law says otherwise, they consider the law to be wrong. They see themselves as heroic because they're fighting something that they consider to be like Jim Crow. And there's no compromise with people like that. You just have to defeat them at the polls and defeat them in Congress.
We apologize to other people on hold. We have run out of time. Mark Krikorian is our guest here today from Center for Immigration Studies, their website, cis.org. Mark, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And friends, certainly those of you listening right now in Arizona, Texas, are going to be first impacted by much of this. And continue to keep this nation in our prayers. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.